today in the scripture we have two examples of what are called theophanies. Theophany from the Greek, to see God. And if we listen to what happened in those scriptures, today, we'd think that seeing God is a pretty scary or dangerous thing. Think about it. Moses goes up to the mountain, and he is in the presence of God. He sees God, and God gives him the Ten Commandments. And when he comes down from the mountain, he is glowing like the South Anna nuclear reactor. It's a scary thing how much he is glowing, and the people are so frightened that Moses realizes that he has to cover his face because the glow is too frightening to them. So he covers himself with a veil whenever he talks to the Israelites, and he only takes the veil off when he goes up and talks to God. That seems to be the thing about being in the presence of God. It changes you. Something similar happens in the gospel. Jesus goes up to the top of the mountain to pray. Mountains, climbing up mountains seem to be the standard symbol of what happens. And he brings Peter, James, and John up with him. And suddenly, Moses and Elijah appear. Now, Peter and James and John know their scripture, and they know that Moses and Elijah have been dead for a long time. It is not normal to see Moses and Elijah hanging out with you when you're standing up on top of a mountain. And now all three of them are up there, and they're glowing like one of those super strong LED headlights. And then there's a cloud, and God's voice is heard affirming Jesus as his son. And they're all a little scared. That does seem to be the reaction to these theophanies, these moments when people are glowing with the strange and glorious light. So they fall to the ground. Presence of God, it changes people. There's an energy in that presence, like the heat and the light of the sun. So it's no surprise that they glow. And it's also no surprise that the glow is a little bit intimidating. And yet, we can't turn away from the glow, can we? It's so beautiful, it's so soul-warming, that we're drawn to it even as we're frightened by it. We hear these stories, and perhaps we're beginning to understand that there's a certain amount of work that's involved in getting ourselves to a place where we can see God. In the case of Moses and Jesus and the three disciples, of course, they climb a mountain to get there. For the people of Israel waiting for Moses at the bottom of that mountain, it's a little bit different. They're facing this glowing Moses who brings God's word to them. Their work is to see beyond the veil with which Moses covers his face. They have to get beyond the glow. It may feel a little like a magic trick to get into the words that Moses has to deliver them. That's their work. Because it does seem that getting to know God, to feel his presence, to be a part of him, requires some effort on our part. Sometimes the work is climbing mountains, sometimes it's surviving the challenges of life, sometimes it's getting to work in the morning. All kinds of work out there. But I found myself, as I was reading these scriptures with their mountaintop experiences, thinking of the trip that Doug and I took to Ireland last summer and the monster 7-hour hike that we took over the extremely challenging limestone terrain of the Burren region. Some parts were so difficult, as I've told you before, that all of our concentration was just where the next step was going to be. Some parts were just plain old steep and hard. But there was a view from the top. The farms and fields running down into Galway Bay, that was absolutely transcendent. And I doubt that it would have affected us anywhere near as much if we had simply been driven up to the top of the mountain. If it had been an easy trip. About 5 hours into the hike. Yeah, 5 hours. We took a break, and I lay on my back, soaked with sweat despite the 50-degree temperature, trying to catch my breath. The leader of the hike was reading a poem about reconnecting with one's ancestors. It was a particularly potent image for me, going to the land of my forebears and thinking of my father and his people in particular. And in the midst of it, a breeze sweeping across the top of the hill caressed my face like my Heavenly Father's hand. In that moment, I felt God's presence and God's energy flowing into me, giving me what I needed to continue the last leg of the hike, down to a house where the meal that would feed our bodies and souls awaited us. Would I have felt God's presence on that cool afternoon had I not gone on the hike? Maybe. Maybe not. But I can attest that the intensity of that feeling was due in part to the intensity of the work that preceded it. And that raises a question for us. What is the work that we need to do to know God, to see Him before us, to feel His presence caressing us, blessing us? Do we need to climb mountains like Moses and Jesus, or wander in the desert like the Israelites for 40 years to understand who God is? Perhaps the answer is found in the wise words of Franciscan theologian Richard Rohr. He offers a very different kind of work prescription for us. He writes that prayer lives in pure open moments of right here and right now. This is enough. This is fullness. If it is not right here, right now, it doesn't exist. If we don't know God now, why would we not know God later? If we don't see God now, would the eyes be prepared to see God later? This is the mountaintop moment, and we get there with prayer. No strenuous hike. No appearance of those ancients long gone. No booming voice from the clouds. Just prayer. And God with us in that prayer. For Rohr, prayer is the way to be present to God and to open ourselves to what God has to say to us. Now, the likelihood of our faces glowing so brightly that we have to cover ourselves so that we don't scare the kids or the dog is pretty slim. And yet, don't we feel different when we find that place of stillness, that place of communion, so we can be aware of God's presence? In a few days, we will begin the season of Lent. That season when we are asked to examine our hearts. We're supposed to see how we can be closer to God and to what God has in mind for us, to know God more deeply, to strip away the extraneous stuff and get to the really important stuff. That is what Lent is about, using whatever means necessary. And Rohr reminds us that if we want to get a taste of that glow and insight to the God who is actually right beside us, the starting point is prayer. Just prayer. So my hope for you as we enter into this holy season of Lent is that prayer will be a part of this time for you. Maybe formal prayer, such as we'll do on Wednesday when we have our Ash Wednesday service. Maybe private prayer with God. Let this holy season of Lent be the time that you feel the presence of God, the spark of a deeper relationship with the one who loves you most, with prayer. Amen.